The Kim Frazier Show on Montreal's news talk leader, CJAD 800.
I can bring home a bacon, fry it up in a pan, and never let you forget your romance.
Do you remember that perfume ad from when you were a kid? Can you really have it all? I don't know. You know, I tried and I just had to have a nap. After that, it was exhausting. Well, maybe we're not doing it right. Erica Diamond has certainly gone for it all and pretty much done it all. Women on the Fence blogger has built business from scratch, won a top 30 under 30 entrepreneur award, and then went on to crown that with the top 40 under 40. She's got a book, 99 Things Women Wish They Knew Before Starting Their Own Business. And she's in town. She's the big star of the National Women's Show at the Palais des Congrès, which starts tomorrow, April the 9th, and runs through till Sunday, April 11th. Welcome back. You're no stranger to Montreal, though. You went to school here, didn't you?
I live in Montreal.
Oh, you live in Montreal? I do.
You
lived in Toronto.
No, I wasn't born here, but yeah. I've lived here since I'm one.
Since you're one.
I'm no stranger to Montreal, that's
for
sure.
Yeah. So where are you from? Where in Montreal?
I grew up in TMR.
You're a TMR girl.
I grew up in TMR, and yeah. No, I don't live there anymore, but I grew up there. Yeah.
Just want to tell us where she lives. Stalkers. Okay. So, I was reading your bio and all the stuff that you've done, and I'm thinking entrepreneurship or ADD. Do you have a hard time sticking with one thing? Or
you know what? It may sound maybe a little all over the place, but it's been my goal, my dream, my vision ever since I can remember. I'm an only child, and my dress up, my play, ever since I was little was always me owning something. Clothing store in the basement, a restaurant. It was all, you know, it's how I used to play. It was me, I don't know, owning my own business and being my own boss. So,
I've spoken with other female entrepreneurs,
yeah.
And they all say the same thing, that it's just this drive that they cannot overlook. It's a tireless thing that really doesn't.
It's the fire that's really always there brewing, and it's just I don't know if it's something that was innate within me, but it's a passion, and I love all things women in business.
Now, what's the toughest part? Is the toughest part coming up with the idea of what to do or selling it?
The toughest part. Well, this is really only my second career. It's really only my second shot at entrepreneurship. When I was 24, I started my first business.
Yeah.
And I sold it 3 years ago. I was pretty much having a nervous breakdown. I mean, not in the literal sense, but almost. I had given birth to this beautiful boy, and I was running my company and struggling between motherhood and owning, you know, being an entrepreneur. And I remember my mom she's like my best friend and my therapist, and she looked at me, and I looked at her, and I said, I can't do this anymore. I'm failing everywhere. So, you know, I guess right timing, right place at the right time. I got an offer I couldn't refuse from a great company to buy my business. And so I sold it 3 years ago, and I've been home for 3 years, and you know, the fire inside, it brews. And said, I'm on the fence with what I want to do next. My kids are in school, and I have to do something, because I was, you know, getting tired with just going about my day, the gym, and really, you know, volunteer work, and that was it. So I was really looking to be creative, and I've always loved to write. And so the blog, you know, 7 months ago, I was on the fence myself, hence womenonthefence.com.
Mm-hmm.
And this voice to call out to women, to speak out to women, was born. I met a girlfriend, a girl of mine, you know, a friend of mine. I went to a luncheon, and she was a blogger. I said, hey, that seems like a really cool thing to do, a really creative, expressive, you know, career or something to do. So I literally was, as I was the first time with my business, in business the next day as a blogger.
So you've only been doing this for 7 months?
7 months, yeah.
Holy smokes. Okay, I'd like to hear from you. How did your life change once the kids got here? And how do you try and manage? Because it really is a difficult balance. 514-790-0991. And you can also text your comments into 514-800. I know so many women. I remember doing a series on daycare and polling all kinds of women. Mm-hmm. And every single one of them said the biggest problem with the daycare program was that it didn't allow them to work part-time. That once they had children, there was just no way that you could be working 50-hour weeks, 40-hour weeks. It was just the pull was, and they described exactly what you said, that they felt like they were doing everything badly.
It's really difficult. You know, I think as women, we have it tough. There still is a double standard. You come home at the end of the day, there's laundry, there's dinner, there's a lot to be done. And for me personally speaking, you know, I speak to women. I really feel the best type of fulfilling work, if possible, is part-time work. It's the best way to give you the balance and flexibility you're looking for. But there's numerous ways, if you are working in a full-time position, of how to at least, you know, let's be honest, you really can't have it all at the same time. I'm really a big believer in that. There's no such thing as perfection and having everything all at one time. But if you are in a full-time working position, there are really tons of ways to create the most balance and harmony in your life. It's possible.
Our guest is Erica Diamond of womenonthefence.com and author of 99 Things Women Wish They Knew Before Starting Their Own Business. We'll get into that in just a sec. So how can somebody who's, you know, out there working and feeling, it's just guilt, eh? It was like guilt.
Constant
it's like
guilt.
It's like our middle name.
Yeah.
So how do you, because here's what we see. You have kids who are here, hurry up.
Everything. You're running.
All the time.
Brush your teeth. Let's go. Get your school bag. Let's go. Let's move. We got to go.
Yeah. So how do we kind of slow things down?
With great difficulty, but it's possible. Well, a few things. First of all, I encourage all the women that I speak to, if you're not going to the gym or working out or walking at night after work, doing something, yoga, Pilates, anything to move your body, you got to do it. You have to start, because these are things that bring balance into our life. And they're really, and you know, for some people, they like to incorporate some sort of exercise regimen at the end of the day or at lunchtime. You know, the time really doesn't matter. Things like working out, things like putting yourself back on your to-do list, that with all of life all of our responsibilities at work, at home, in a marriage, we must put ourselves, you know, we become last on our list. We sort of, everything falls by the wayside and everything has to get done, and we put ourselves last. So it's about finding the things we love. Is there a passion that you have? You know, I talk about in my book about unlocking your passion. I also talk about it on my, you know, my blog. What is your passion? To find those things that ignite you. Do you love to paint? Do you love to, you know, do you love music? Is it a walk in the park? Is it, you know, a stroll with a coffee on Crescent Street, you know, right here?
Yeah, that's interesting, because I think a lot of people think of passion. You talk to women, I talk to a lot of women too, and if you say to a lot of people, find your passion, they'll be like, what are you talking about? I've got laundry,
right.
I've got homework, I've got soccer, I've got work. I mean, find my passion? Have you lost your ever-loving mind? And I think our definition of passion is maybe a little, you know, when you talk about being a perfectionist, is maybe a little too big.
Yeah.
That, you know, when you talk about grabbing a coffee or getting a massage.
You know, just little things. But you have to make the time. You know, I also talk a lot about the art of saying no and the art of surrender. So learning how to say no, I never said no. I said yes and yes and yes. And I felt so guilty if I said no to someone or to something. So if someone asked for a favor or if they asked me to participate in something, I just said yes to everyone. And I was piling too much on my plate. And again, that whole thing where I felt like I was failing at everything because I had too much coming at me, as all working moms do and most women do. We just have a lot on our plates coming at us at once. So it's the ability to say no, and maybe no, you know, it's not no forever, but it could be no for now. No to maybe an incredible opportunity, just because now's not the right time for you, you know? So learning the art of saying no, the art of surrender, that, hey, you know what? My house is going to be a pigsty this weekend, and that's just going to have to be okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Somebody once said, embrace your dust bunnies.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. You know? It's just, you know what? Because it's just more important. You know, the house will get clean later, or I'll just have to return that email tomorrow at the office because I'm home from work now, and I only have X amount of time to be with my kids and to keep the passion alive in my marriage. And so all that stuff is just going to have to wait.
Well, that's what I want to, that was my next question for you, was marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll see in a lot of, look, she's smiling. She's like, uh-huh, because if
you're
last
on
the list. No, but if you're last on the list, the relationship for a lot of couples, and I've heard from guys, families who say, once we had the kids, that was it. It was like I don't know what I was. I was way out there in left field, and it was all about the kids, the kids, the kids, the kids. Yeah. There was one guy who called in. Get this. They bought a vacation home in Florida.
Yeah.
And his wife has never gone down there with him because she wouldn't leave the kids. No, no. The kids, the youngest one was 13.
Wow.
And the you know, the pain in that guy's voice, how much he missed his wife. And how a lot of women, we do that. We make, I'm guilty of it too. And
they
were
little,
the
grind.
Kids come first.
The
kids
daily
come
grind.
First. Coming up, we'll talk about that in just a sec.
The Kim Frazier Show on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
CJAD time is 1:48, so we're learning how to balance it all from someone who's just exhausted me. She's an absolute pistol, a born entrepreneur, Erica Diamond. She's a now blogger, womenonthefence.com. Go check it out. It's really interesting. It's addictive. And you're also blogging with Brooke Burke, too. Are you not on her site?
Yeah, Brooke, I blog on Modern Mom. Brooke Burke has a blogging site. It's like an online magazine for the woman behind the mom. And that's modernmom.com. And she's a great lady. She's now the co-host of Dancing with the Stars. And she has also given me some great words of praise for my upcoming book.
How did you get in touch with her? I mean, how did you sort of come to her notice?
I'd say that we met in the world of Twitter.
Okay.
Can I say that?
Sure.
I guess it's true. We just, one blog met the other blog, and I guess they merged. You know, there was a good synergy, and so that's how we got together.
Yeah, because you're all excited. You're being followed by Ellen DeGeneres now.
I love her.
I know. Isn't she
great?
Her
and Oprah. They're my ladies.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. Oprah, when she gained all the weight back, which is, like, so embarrassing, right, in public, and she said that was the thing that she did. She had taken herself off her agenda.
Yeah, I know. I remember that.
Yeah, and actually had to put it back in.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it really is difficult for a lot of women because we're taught to be self-sacrificing. You sacrifice it all for your children.
Oh, I don't believe in that at all. I'm a real advocate against martyrdom.
That's
and
heresy.
Sacrificing. Yeah, no, it doesn't. It, you know, happy wife, happy life. It's good for no one when you've got a sacrificing. I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't sacrifice. We've got to do for those we love, and that's important. And you know, but martyrdom and sacrificing and all that stuff and, you know, old school, I don't know. For me, that doesn't work.
There you go, ladies. Erica just gave you permission to be selfish.
Yeah, to be good to yourself. It's about being good to yourself. You know, you really, we have to, everyone, you know, we have husbands, we have friends, we have bosses, but the person who is going to take care of us the best at the end of the day is really ourselves.
Okay, so this other thing that women tend to do, and do women talk to you about this, the fact that they do neglect their relationships when the kids come along?
Sure, of course, absolutely. It's a normal thing, you know, I can even speak personally. Hope my husband doesn't kill me, but I remember many times getting into bed and, you know, okay, so tonight's the night, and then you've got a screaming or barfing baby in the next room. So, you know, so it gets put off to the next night, and then the next night something else happens. So what do they say? You really, you know, we all hear therapists say you've got to schedule in date nights and all that stuff with your spouse. And as cheesy as it sounds, it's true. It's really, you know, I really believe in it. You can't. And as a matter of fact, I had great advice from a family friend. He unfortunately had separated from his wife. And my husband and I think we were only married a year. And he said to me, if there's any good advice I can give you, it's put your husband first. He was talking to me. He said, put your husband first and your kids second. Don't put your kids first and your husband second, because it won't work.
That is absolute for a lot of women.
Wasn't that great?
Yeah, it's great advice, but it's complete and utter heresy. I've done shows on that. And people have sent me hate mail. Like, what kind of mother are you? What kind of person are you?
No, I think he's right. I really do. You're a couple. You started out together alone, you know, and you've created this family from the couple, and it's wonderful, and family time's important, but you gotta make time for your spouse emotionally to talk, to connect. Otherwise, you'll be walking this world alone.
Yeah, nobody wants to be a single parent.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah.
What are you going to be talking about at the show?
I'm going to be talking about the whole the balance, the juggle of career, mummyhood, marriage. blogging, the book, all that stuff. Just the struggles as women that we face, and tips and techniques that I'm going to try and give the women as how they can bring balance, you know, into their own lives. Things like we talked about, you know, the art, you know, surrendering, putting yourself back on your to-do list, never forgetting or neglecting your girlfriends, you know, and the nurturing.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
That's hard. That's really difficult, though.
For me, it's never hard. Once a month, I have the same group of girls since I've had my son. He's now 6 and a half. We go out once a month. When the evening's done, the next one is planned, I think, that evening. So it never gets forgotten. It's always over wine and drinks and a meal, and we laugh, and it's fabulous. It's wonderful.
That's a good way of doing it, though, because you talk to a lot of women, and they say it's really difficult trying to find the time. But if you get everybody together in one place at one time, it's not as time consuming as if you've got to see this person and that person and this person. Yeah. You get all your worlds together. Okay, we'll have to do that. I'll have to write that down.
Once every 4 weeks.
My crazy friend Flo. Flo? Well, that's what we'll do. Once every 4 weeks. Because, you know, you end up making, let's get together for coffee, and then something happens. Oh, I've got a meeting or, you know, whatever. And then you put it off and you put it off and you put it off. Selling yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, your blog is really, it's been 7 months and I've checked it out and it's it's well endorsed. You're spreading out. How do you do something like that? How do you sell yourself? Like, get out there? Or is it just sort of something that happened and you're as mystified as everyone else?
No, I think it's about being authentic and about being true. So I think that whatever it is that you want to jump into, that whatever you want to dive into in any kind of business, you know, we're talking women and entrepreneurship, whatever it is, it's got to be real. You've got to be passionate about it, and you got to imagine yourself doing it in 10 or 15 years from now, because if it's something that's, you know, going to bore you, or it's, you think, you know, it'll be something that'll be a passing phase, then I would say definitely don't jump into it. You know, I have friends who are accountants and I look at them and they love what they do. If I had to sit behind a computer and crunch numbers all day, they would commit me in a loony bin. That is not for me, you know, so I've got to be out and talking to women and, you know, everyone has to know, I think, what ignites them and what they're passionate about. And hopefully what you're passionate about is what you're good at. And then it's sort of one thing goes to the next. You just...
Okay, so it's one thing to have a passion. How do you make money at it?
At blogging or at your own business? Well, it's very difficult. You need to get... Of course, you need to have corporate sponsors and partners and advertisers.
You do have to go out and sell it.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, my blog is monetized by one of the world's largest media companies for women, which is called Glam Media. So I now have banner advertising. I was approached by them a couple of months ago to put banner ads on my site. So it is monetized at the moment.
And you also have, do you not have a link with The View?
I'm a mombassador. I'm an ambassador, a brand ambassador for the show, for ABC's The View, to represent the mom community, just to really to touch, you know, to reach out to the moms, to see some of the guests they'd love to see, some of the hot topics they want to discuss. And really, it's to touch the moms and to respond to that need.
So you're like a focus group, or you float an idea? How does that work?
We work with the ABC producers of the show to get ideas flowing with what specifically moms are looking for, what they'd love to see on the show. So we work with them.
Well, there's all kinds of things going on at the National Women's Show. Natasha Gargiulo, who we all know and love because she used to work here, and she's now at ET Canada, Global Entertainment. So, there'll be a surprise announcement with respect to Natasha actually coming up in the next few days. There'll be all kinds of shopping. Shopping galore. You can't have anything for women without shopping, seriously.
Makeovers also.
Yes.
Free makeovers for women. Who doesn't want a makeover? Or who couldn't use a makeover? I know I could.
So there'll be that, free swag bags for the first 3,000 through the door daily while supplies last. It's just it's a big bonding weekend. You can't show up in your pajamas, but Erica, you'll be speaking at 3:30 on Sunday afternoon.
3:30 center stage on Sunday,
well,
the 11th.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.